This week's parsha is Parshas Kisiso, and in this week's parsha we have one of the most catastrophic occurrences in our history. This parsha describes the sin of the golden calf that the Jewish people, 40 days after they received the Torah, after they saw Hashem, they said Nasa v'nishma in unison. Everybody saw the awesome vision of Hashem himself coming down at Mount Sinai and Hashem speaking to us directly. We were able, after only a mere 40 days, to do the sin of the golden calf, which, if you read the sin of the golden calf normally, it is a sin of idolatry. We'll see how Mefarshim tried to describe the sin in a better light, or try to rationalize how is it possible the Jewish people that were in such a high level, how can they fall so short? First, I will introduce the Gemara, which I introduced last week. The Gemara says, in Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet Omed Beis, V'omar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, Lo yasu Yisrael eso egel, the Jewish people only did the golden calf, Elo liten pischon peh lebal tshuva, to give an opening of the mouth, which means an encouragement for a repentant. In other words, the Gemara explains later on, that is what Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Loi David ro'ui lo'oisoi mase. David HaMelech was not suited to perform this deed with Bathsheba. The story is in Shmuel 2, chapter 11, where David HaMelech sees Bathsheba and he falls in love with her, but Bathsheba has a husband, which her husband is in the front. I mean that he's at war and he is in the front. So David HaMelech has a relationship with Bathsheba. Technically, the Gemara says the relationship was not adulterous because everybody who goes out to war gives a bill of divorce just in case he perishes in the war and they cannot find the body. The woman at that point would become tied to her husband and would not be allowed to marry. Since if you don't find the body, there is always a possibility that the husband was taken captive and is alive, and a woman who has the husband alive is not allowed to remarry unless she gets a bill of divorce. So therefore, everybody that went to war gave a conditional divorce, that if he doesn't come back from the front, the woman will be divorced from now. The divorce has to be from now because you cannot give a divorce after death. Because of the rule that ain get la'achar misa, you can't give a divorce after death. Therefore, the divorce has to take effect immediately, but in the condition that the husband doesn't come back. If he doesn't come back, then retroactively, she is divorced. Uriah never came back to Bathsheba, so therefore, retroactively, she was a free woman, even though technically it was not considered adultery, but nonetheless, if you read the Psukim, it is definitely considered adultery the way it's written in the Prophet. So the Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that David HaMelech, in normal circumstances, even wouldn't do what he did, that he would never have relationship with Bathsheba in normal circumstances. And it continues, V'lo Yisrael re'uyin lo yisamase, and the Jewish people should not have done the golden calf, that they shouldn't be at the level to sin at the golden calf. The Gemara continues, explains, Lo David ro'uy lo yisamase, that David HaMelech should not have done this deed. Like the pasuk says, the chsiv is written, V'libi cholol bekirbi, it's written in Psalms 109, verse 22, that my heart is empty inside me, that the evil inclination has died within me. David HaMelech is testifying that the evil inclination has died within him, that he doesn't have any more an evil inclination, that he was able to conquer his evil inclination. So technically, if he has no evil inclination, he shouldn't have sinned with Bathsheba. Veloi Israel ruin lois amasa. The Jewish people shouldn't have sinned. Why? Because the pasuk says in Devarim chapter 5, pasuk number 26, Mi yitain, who can assure, v'hoyo levavon ze lohem, and this heart should remain theirs, le'yira oisi, to fear me, v'lishmeres kol mitzvoisai kol ayomim, and to observe my commandments all the days. The pasuk means to say that the vision that we had at Sinai should have lasted for us all days, and we should have feared and have awed Hashem all days of our lives. So from the pasuk at David, we see that David shouldn't in normal circumstances sin. And the pasuk from the Torah, we see that the Jewish people, after they saw revelation at Sinai, shouldn't normally sin. So the Gemara asks a question, El Olama, also, why did people sin? If they shouldn't of normal circumstances sin, why did Hashem make them sin? Loi malach, to tell you, Sheim chota yachid, if a person, private person, makes a very harsh sin, we say, Kelech etzel yachid. Go to David HaMelech, learn from David HaMelech, that David HaMelech sinned and he repented. So too, if you repent, your repentance will be accepted. And if the population sinned, in other words, a group, a multitude sinned, so too, kelchu etzel tzibur, which tell them to go to the population. In other words, we see that the Jewish people sinned, and yet they did such harsh crime as the golden calf, and Hashem forgave us. So too, Hashem wanted a person that sinned should not give up hope and should not say, my sin is so strong, I will never be forgiven. So since I'll never be forgiven, so let me not do tshuva, because that is also the way of the Satan. The Satan sometimes makes you give up and say, why do I bother to do tshuva? I am such a sinner. I did such terrible crimes. I will never be forgiven. Might as well just enjoy it. Therefore, Hashem made the Jewish people sin and made David HaMelech sin, for you to learn that even if you have such a harsh sin by yourself, or you did do a harsh sin with population, in other words, a whole group of people do a harsh sin, Hashem could still forgive. We could see from the description of the Jewish people doing the golden calf that before they did the golden calf, the Satan had to go and do various things. Hashem allowed the Satan to do various things before we actually fell in the sin of the golden calf. And all those things were really supernatural things, which in normal circumstances, Hashem should not make a miracle for us to sin. Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peites Badalev, brings down two of the things that the Satan made. The first thing, that Satan came, ve'irvav es oilam, and he made confusion into the world, which means he caused darkness and murk and cloudy, a fog-like haze to come into the world. And they thought that that came because Moshe Rabbeinu died, because Moshe Rabbeinu was in the mountain for 40 days. And they thought that now all of a sudden this cloudiness, this darkness came into the world. So must be that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Came the Satan and asked them, Moshe Rabchem Eichon Hu, Moshe your Rabbi, where is Moshe Rabbeinu? Omru Loi, the Jewish people told them, Al Olamorim, he went up to heaven. Amar Lohem Bahu Sheish, already 6 hours have passed, and if he didn't return by now, he's not here. Velo Yishgichu Olav, the Jewish people didn't care, didn't believe the Satan. Then the Satan said, Meis, that Moshe Rabbeinu had died. Velo Yishgichu Olav, and they still didn't care, they still didn't believe the Satan. Her Olohem Dus Mutasoi, the Satan showed them an image of Moses' bier, Moshe Rabbeinu's coffin, being carried by the angels. And he was able to trick the Jewish people that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So it comes out for the Jewish people to believe, according to the Gemara's description, was required for the Satan first to mix up the whole world, and second to show the vision of Moshe Rabbeinu's bed being taken by the angels. So Hashem had to allow these miracles to happen in order for the Jewish people to sin. Hashem had to make supernaturally. In normal circumstances, they would have not sinned. Hashem had to make supernaturally that they should be able to sin. And further, the Midrash brings down the Pasuk in Tehillim 106, Pasuk number 20, there it says, Vayamiru es kevoidom, they exchanged their glory, betavnis shor oichel esef, in the likeness of a grass-eating axe. So the Mefarshim bring down, the Midrash says that the eagle actually ate grass, that the golden calf, even though it's an object, was given life into it, and it actually ate grass. So that is a miracle that happened in order to corrupt the Jewish people, in order for the Jewish people to fall and do the golden calf. The Satan was able to make these extra things. The only reason that Hashem allowed the Satan to do these extra steps was in order for the Jewish people to be able to do tshuva. And because the Jewish people are able to do tshuva, then people around the world afterwards will learn that it's possible for a person to do tshuva for such a harsh sin. The question is, why did Hashem allow the Satan to do this? What was so important for Hashem to allow this Satan to do, to corrupt us, to do tshuva? Wouldn't it be better for us not to sin? The simple answer we could answer if what the Beis Halevi brings down on the plagues of Egypt. There it's written by Chazak Hashem Eslev Paroi, Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh, Veloy Shoma Aleim, and he did not listen to Moshe, did not hearken to Moshe. Which means that even though he was getting all the plagues, Hashem hardened his heart and he would not send out the Jewish people. So Mefarshim asks a question, if Hashem hardened the heart of Pharaoh and Pharaoh did not send out the Jewish people because Hashem hardened his heart, then where is the doctrine of free will? Hashem only punishes if a person chooses to do a sin from his own free will. But by Hashem hardening the heart of Pharaoh, theoretically it seems to be that Hashem took away Pharaoh's free will. So how can Hashem punish somebody if he doesn't have a free will? So the different Mefarshim there, some say that after you become a habitual transgressor, Hashem doesn't give you the choice anymore to repent. But the Beis Halevi there brings down the idea quite opposite, that we know that when we make a sin, Hashem doesn't strike us with a punishment right away. If you transgress Shabbos, you go out in the street, there's no bolt of lightning coming down to burn you, to remind you that is your sin. How come there's no bolt of lightning coming down to remind you that you sinned? It's because Hashem wants you to choose Him out of your own free will. If every time you do something bad, a bolt of lightning would come to hit you, then you wouldn't do because of you choose not to do, you do the action, or you wouldn't do the action because you're afraid of the bolt of lightning coming down from the sky. You really want to do the action, but you only don't do it because of the bolt of lightning coming down from the sky. So Hashem, by not punishing us every time we do something bad, it's twofold. One, we have free will, that now we have could choose to do good or bad without apparent immediate consequences, but the consequences will be in the future. And second, Hashem allows you the time to do tshuva, that if you would get the punishment right away, then you never have a chance to do tshuva. So Hashem does both things. Hashem, by delaying the punishment, He causes you first to have free will, to have a free choice to choose Hashem from your own volition, not because you're being punished. And second, that you have the ability to do tshuva before you get the punishment. And that is exactly what Hashem did to Pharaoh. Hashem, by hardening the heart of Pharaoh, Hashem restored to Pharaoh his free will. Paroi was going to send out the Jewish people not because he wanted to send out the Jewish people because Hashem told him. He was going to send out the Jewish people because he's getting too many plagues. He's getting the lightning every time he decides to do something bad. That is not considered free will. So in order to restore his free will, in order for him to be able to choose by his own volition, Hashem had to harden his heart to disregard the plagues. And now let's see how he's going to behave. hardening the heart of Pharaoh didn't mean that now Pharaoh is not going to send out. He wants to send out, but he's not going to send out. Hardening the heart of Pharaoh means for him to disregard the punishment, disregard the pain, and see what he's going to do. Once Pharaoh didn't feel the pain, or Hashem was able to harden his heart for him to disregard the pain, and now he still didn't send the Jewish people, so therefore he was punished. Because only now, by Hashem hardening his heart, now he has free will. The same thing happened here when the Jewish people came to Sinai. As soon as Jewish people came to Sinai, they got achieved such a high level now that in normal circumstances, they would laugh at the Yetzer Hara. They would see the Yetzer Hara trying to convince them to do something wrong, and they would just laugh at him because they are such a high level that they could see right through it. They saw Hashem's revelation at Sinai. They heard Hashem speak to them directly, and that influenced them in such a great way that it is impossible for them to sin at this occasion. So Hashem, in order to restore the free will, in order for them to be able to have a free choice again, that for them to be able to come down from the level that they were, because the whole idea for creation is for us not to become like angels, is for us to become human, for us to choose Hashem from our own free will. So in order for Hashem to restore our free will, Hashem had to allow the Satan to use supernatural powers, because that's the supernatural powers are the powers that we became elevated, that we are able to see the truth. So Hashem had to use the supernatural powers to balance out our free will, for us to have a choice between good and bad, to require to have a balance between good and bad. So therefore Hashem allowed the Satan to do this. Also, Hashem wanted us to know that there is such a concept to do tshuva, even though for the future. So Hashem allowed us to sin in order for us to learn that concept. But mainly it was for us to be able to get reward for our good deeds, because the only way that we get rewards for our deeds is only if we have free will. Because if we don't have free will, then technically it's impossible for us to do bad. We will always follow what Hashem tells us, then we wouldn't have a reward for it. And I will add the concept that the Zohar brings down, that before we are created, we still enjoy Hashem's presence, that the Neshama, before it comes down to this world, enjoys Hashem's light, but there the Neshama enjoys only through shame. What the Zohar calls Nahama the Kasufa, that we eat bread that is shameful, that anything that we get for nothing, anything that we receive for no reason, we are ashamed of it. So therefore Hashem puts us down to the world in order for us to get mitzvahs, and us to choose Hashem for our free will, then we'll get rewarded for it, then we'll be deserving of the connection to Hashem. We will be doing something to connect, and then we're not embarrassed anymore. The same way that if you get a gift from somebody, you are embarrassed. But if you work, even if you don't work so hard, but if you get paid for work, then you're not embarrassed about your income. You feel you deserve it. And like that, you are able to get without feeling ashamed. So that's the kindness that Hashem does to us, in a simple interpretation, that Hashem puts us down in this world in order to choose Hashem for our own free will. Like that we'll get rewarded, like that we, when come back to heaven, we won't feel ashamed, the Neshama won't feel ashamed anymore for getting something for nothing. So Hashem wants to reward us, so therefore he restored our free will by allowing the Satan to make miracles in order to entice us, in order to balance out our free will. Like that, by restoring our free will, we are able to choose Hashem through our own free will, and we are able to get rewards for our action. And this point is also brought down by a beautiful Chasam Sofer on Parshas Shuvah. The Chasam Sofer brings down a medrash on the Tehillim, chapter 32. It's actually brought down part of it in Yalkut Shimoni, but he quotes the Psikta. The medrash says that in Yom Kippur, Ba Satan Lekatek Al Yisrael, the Satan comes to criticize the Jewish people, who poiret avonoseihem, and is itemizing the sins of the Jewish people. Vo'omer, he tells to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, yesh be'umos ha'olam anafim, that there are Gentiles in the nations of the world that commit adultery, V'chein be'Israel, and Jewish people, unfortunately, also commit adultery. Yash be'uma is ganavim, the nations of the world steal. V'chein be'Israel, the Jewish people also steal. Ba'kodesh Baruch Hu poiret zechuyosem shel Israel. The same way that the Satan starts counting individually every sin that the Jewish people do, so Hashem starts counting every merit the Jewish people do. The Medrash continues, how do we decide if the merits are more than the bad deeds? Hashem brings a scale. Now he puts in one side the scale, the sins, and the other sides of the scale, the merits. And they end up being equal. So the Chasam Sofer explains, how is it possible that they should end up being equal? So he says that what happens is this, that the more that the Satan engranders, the more that the Satan makes bigger the sin of the Jewish people, the more that the Satan says that the Jewish people had insurmountable desire to do an Aveira, the more Hashem makes the merits become larger. Why? Because since we had such a high desire to do an Aveira, so much more we had to have to overcome and do the mitzvah. Because now that the Satan keeps saying how much desire we did Aveira with, that much more we had to use to be able to do a mitzvah. So Hashem puts in the scale the mitzvahs as par as per Aveira. That the more desire you had for Aveira, that means Aveira is bigger, so much more the mitzvah that you did, you had to overcome all that to be able to do the mitzvah. So therefore the mitzvah is also bigger. Because Hashem does not give the same reward for the mitzvahs for every person. The basic reward for making a mitzvah we get no matter what. Me keeping Shabbos, somebody else keeping Shabbos gets the same reward for the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. But me keeping Shabbos may be easier than somebody who is always used to transgress Shabbos and now he has to overcome that desire to keep Shabbos. I grew up religious. I don't have such a yetzer hara. If I have to keep Shabbos, for me, it is not so hard. But somebody who did not grow up religious, who was used to always do certain things on Shabbos, now for him to give up that thing is harder for him. That's what the Chasam Sofer means to say, that Hashem, when Hashem puts in the scale the merits, Hashem doesn't only put the merits of the person for the mitzvah per se that he did. Hashem also includes in the merit that he puts on the scale the temptation that a person had and the temptation he had to overcome in order to do the mitzvah or in order not to do the Aveira. All these things come into Hashem on the scale. The more temptation you have, the greater the merit you are going to get if you overcome it to do those merits. Because the more the Yetzer Hara maximizes the sin when he sins, that means he has an overwhelming temptation for the sin. So too, when he does the right thing, that means he had to overcome overwhelming odds to do the right thing. So Hashem puts the scale, the merits, and the more the Yetzer Hara brings sins, the more Hashem engranders or make it larger the merits. Until it becomes 50-50. When it becomes 50-50, we don't know how to decide. The Medrash continues that the Satan goes out to look for more sins of the Jewish people. While the Satan is away looking for the sins of the Jewish people, Hashem goes into the scale, removes the sins of the Jews, and hides it underneath its cloak. The Satan comes back and is looking for the sins of the Jews, and he cannot find it. In other words, the scale is 50-50, it's balanced evenly. So the Satan starts looking for the sins of the Jews to tilt the scale towards guilt that we should be punished. When the Satan goes out to look for more sins of the Jews, Hashem removes the sins of the Jews. Now all we have is merit, and therefore we are meritors to have a good year. And comes Yom Kippur, Hashem gives us a good year. So the question the Chasam Sofer asks is, if that is the case, if Hashem is going to remove the sins of the Jews, Why does Hashem have to wait until the Satan goes out to look for more sins? Why can't Hashem remove the sins? As soon as the Satan puts the sin on the scale, Hashem could remove the sins of the Jews. What is the point that Hashem waits till the Satan goes out and then removes the sin? And also, the Satan comes back. How come the Satan does not complain to Hashem? What's going on? Where are the sins of the Jews? The sins that were here on the scale, what happened to them? Why would the Satan be quiet now that he doesn't see the sins? Chasam Sofer explains that since Hashem created the Satan, and the Satan is really our evil inclination, and Hashem created the evil inclination only for good for us. In other words, Hashem wanted us that if we conquer our evil inclination, then we'll get a greater reward. But if we would not have an evil inclination to entice us to do bad things, then we would have been just like angels and we would have not deserved to get any reward. Therefore, Hashem wants the Satan, our evil inclination, to try to entice us to do something bad. Like that, we're able to conquer our evil inclination, and like that, we will get our reward because of that. Hashem wants us to be able to win over the Yetzer Hara, and theoretically, it seems like the Yetzer Hara's job should be also that we should ultimately win. He has to do the job, but he should actually be happy when we ultimately win. But if our evil inclination would be so strong that we won't be able to conquer it, in other words, we have a good inclination, we have an evil inclination. If the evil inclination is so much stronger than the good inclination, so much that we have no choice but to sin because our temptations are too great for us to overcome, then a person would not be liable for doing sins, because since the person is considered ones, and ones, Rachmana Patre, ones is somebody who is forced to do something, and somebody who is forced to do something, he is not liable for his action, and the Torah exonerates him. If somebody is bound and is required to do something, Hashem does not punish him. In other words, if somebody forces you to eat pork, puts pork in your mouth, and you're required to eat pork, then Hashem cannot punish you for eating pork. So if your evil inclination is so big that you are not be able to conquer it, then Hashem does not punish you because you are considered like somebody who is bound. You are bound by your own evil inclination, that you were tight, you couldn't overcome it because he was too strong for you. So in that case, Hashem has no choice but exonerate you. What's different if somebody ties you with a rope and feeds you, or somebody ties you through your desires and feeds you? In that case, if Hashem sees that the evil inclination is too strong, Hashem would not punish you for your actions. Therefore, Hashem always tries to make sure that the evil inclination and your good inclination are always in balance, that you have the ability to overcome your evil inclination. Because if that wouldn't be so, then you'll be like bound by your evil inclination. You have no choice. You are tilted towards sin. And therefore, Hashem cannot hold you guilty for following your evil inclination. Going back to our Medrash, the Chasam Sofer explains that originally, when the Satan starts presenting the sins of the Jewish people, Hashem has no right to take out the sins yet, because the Satan has not proven that he was too strong for the Jewish people, because it's still only 50-50. The Satan puts the sins and Hashem puts the merit, and they end up being equal. If it's equal, then you are still guilty for your actions. You're still able to overcome your evil inclination. But as soon as the Satan sees that it's 50-50 and he goes out to look for more sins, by his action he proved that he believes that he's stronger, that he believes that he'll be able to entice the Jewish people to do more sins that we are not going to be able to overcome. A Satan like that is very strong, and is more strong than you are able to overcome, because he is not satisfied with just trying to entice you to do something bad. He's looking forward for you to get punishment, for you to get to the bad side. Once the Satan does that, then he showed he proved his true colors, that he is too strong for the man. And that point, Hashem takes away the sins of the Jewish people. And he says, I'm sorry that you are such a great Satan. You're doing the job above and beyond the call of duty. So since you're doing the job above and beyond call of duty, then all the sins that they did, even until now, they were kind of forced to do. They were kind of bound by their inclination, which was too strong for them to control. The Satan did his job too well. And at that point, Hashem removes the sins of the Jewish people and we become exonerated. So only after the Satan leaves, that's when Hashem removes the sin of the Jewish people. We see from this Chasam Sofer and from what we mentioned before, how important it is in order for us to get rewards for the evil inclination always be in balance if our good inclination, and for us to choose Hashem through our good inclination, like that we'll be able to get reward for our mitzvahs. There is though one avera that if we do, Hashem promises us that we are going to have a very strong evil inclination, and that is the mitzvah of shatness. If we use wool and linen together, then it is promised that we are going to have a very strong evil inclination, and then we cannot complain that our good inclination wasn't able to overcome. The word shatness is the letters Shin, Ayin, Tet, Nun, Zayin, which makes the letters Satan Az, which translated is strong Satan. That Hashem is telling you that if you wear wool and linen together, I am going to give you a very strong evil inclination. Not only that, the Medrash brings down that anybody who is wearing shatness, the tefillah, his prayers are not accepted. That any prayer that he does while he's wearing shatness, his prayers are not accepted, because it's like a mitzvah habab avera, the same idea that we explained, that when you do a mitzvah through avera, then the mitzvah really is really part of an avera. Because if you, every time the mitzvah is in front of Hashem, the mitzvah is actually screaming, I am done through a sin. So the same idea applies to shatness, that if you are praying while you're using shatness, Hashem views it as blasphemy, as something not right. Even though you are not aware that you're wearing shatness, but since you are able to test it, you're able to check it out, it's something very easy to check out. And Hashem is telling you that if you wear shatness, you're going to have a satan as, a very strong satan. So therefore, a person should make sure that he takes his clothing and checks it out with shatness. And like I mentioned in the beginning, that there are a lot of places that check it out. In this community, it is done for free. I beg you, test your clothing, like that you will not have a strong satan. And also, you will have your prayers answered. Sefer Aznaim LaTorah brings the questions that we asked before. How come Hashem allowed the Satan to do what he did? And he asks one more question. He asks, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Leich reit, ki shiches amcho, go down, that your nation has corrupted, when Moshe Rabbeinu was in the mountain, Hashem told him to go down, why didn't Hashem tell him to go down before the Jewish people actually sinned? Hashem could have told them to go down as soon as they contemplated to do the golden calf. Like that, the Jewish people would have never sinned. And he brings the Gemara also, that the Gemara says that the reason was for Baal Tshuva, but then he gives a different reason why Hashem had to allow the Satan to do what he did. Then he explains, when the Jewish people went to Mount Sinai, when they received the Ten Commandments, they achieved the level as Adam before the sin. They became immortal, like the Pasuk brings down on chapter 32, Pasuk number 16, Valucho is Mas Elohim Hema, that the Luchas were creation of Hashem, Vamichtav Micht Elohim, and the writing in the writing of Hashem, Chorus engraved Ala Luchos. And the Medrash says, Al Tikri Choros, do not read engraved. Elucherus, read it instead, the language of freedom, which means that we became free from the Malach HaMavos, from the angel of death. That as soon as we got to Mount Sinai, we achieved the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. We rectified the sins of Adam, and we became free from the punishment that came upon man for doing the sin of eating from the fruit, and we became at that particular time immortal. We were just like angels. Sefer Zanim LaTorah says that even though we achieve that level and we are able to rectify the sin of Adam, but we were not able to rectify, to make right the sin of Adam completely. The proof is that only the Jews were able to rectify and the nations of the world were not able to rectify. None of them came to join the Jewish people, even though they trembled when they saw Kriyas Yamsuf, and when they heard the Torah being given, they came out to Bilam, like the Midrash says. They thought the world is going to end, and they all came to Bilam to ask what is going on. And Bilam answered them, Hashem oz la'amo yiten, that Hashem is giving the Torah to the Jews, that the Jewish people are getting the Torah. Yet, even though they heard Kriyas Yamsuf and they heard the awesome noise of the Torah, none of them came to convert and come under Hashem's divine presence. The only one who came is only Yisro, and the Torah publicized that he came. Anybody else from the nations of the world did not join us at that point. You see that complete rectification of the sin of Adam, which was the father of the whole world, was not complete yet, because the nations of the world did not come. Only 600,000 people, through the saying of Nase V'Nishma, that we will do and we will hear, were able to achieve the level of angels. At that point, when the Jewish people received the Ten Commandments, up to the time they did the Egel, we had the world divided in two. In one side were the Jewish people, 600,000 people, that accepted the Torah and were elevated to the level of angels. In the other side, we have the 70 nations that are going after foolishness and still bow down to creations of their own. And they believe that they are gods. And by their behavior, they are telling Hashem, that gave to the world His Torah, that we cannot let go of the desires of this world. We still like to sin. We still like to steal, we still like to kill, we still like to commit immorality, and we don't want to join the obligations of the Torah. At that point in time where mankind was in this world itself, Olam Hazeh, there was a mixture of light and darkness. Light for the people who accepted the Torah, and darkness for the all 70 nations that did not accept the Torah. And he continues and says that this is pshat on the Gemara on Shabbos Daf Peites Omed Aleph that we brought before, Shabbos 89a, which we explained that the Satan came to the Jewish people after we received the Torah. The Gemara says, Bo ha-Satan ve-irvav es oilam, the Satan came and mixed up the world. And we explained that this means that he brought confusion, darkness, clouds, and murky weather. The Oznaim LaTorah explains that Iveiv Vesoilam means that he caused the world to be mixed, that he was complaining to Hashem that by you giving the Torah to the Jews and elevating the Jews to the level of angels, now you caused the whole world to be mixed, that we have darkness and light in this world itself, where it says that we only sinned because of the Erev Rav. We know the famous saying that the Jewish people did not do the Egel. The only reason we did the golden calf is because of the Erev Rav, because of normally translated as mixed multitude. The Oznaim LaTorah translates the Erev Rav is because now became a huge mixture in this world, that we have in this world men that look like angels, a whole population of Jews, 600,000 Jews, plus women and children that look like angels, and they are considered the light. And we had on the other side 70 nations that were involved in physical and theological and psychological corruption of this world, which is considered the darkness. And the Satan complained to Hashem that it is impossible for the world to stay in this level where light and darkness are mixed together. Either you have to have light or you have to have darkness. You can't have a mixture of light and darkness together. So then we have two choices. Either we could elevate the darkness to become light, or we could lower the light to the darkness. And since it was already tried to get the goyim, the nations of the world, up in the level by Kriyas Yamsuf, by them listening to the crossing of the sea, and by the whole world trembling when the Torah was given, and yet they did not, or they were not willing to go up the level. So there was no choice in order to give harmony to this world. There was no choice but to lower the level of the Jewish people, that they will have to fall from the level of angels. That's why the Oznaim LaTorah says it was given permission for the Satan to use extraordinary miracles in order to lower the level of the Jews. And that's why it was not told to Moshe Rabbeinu before the sin, because Hashem wanted this to happen, because the world cannot be in a mixture. Because the Satan's argument that the world cannot be in two sides, good and bad cannot be mixed together, because that is not a ratification of the sin of Adam. That's part of the sin, that when Adam sinned, he caused in one body to be able to mix good and bad, and that is not a ratification of his sin. So therefore Hashem gave permission for the Satan to entice and use miracles in order to cause the Jewish people to trip, to lower the level of the Jewish people from a level of angels to the level of normal human beings. According to this Oznaim LaTorah comes out an unbelievable chiddush, that Hashem will even lower the levels of the Jews just because the goyim do not behave properly. That in order for to be harmony in the world, Hashem will lower the position of the Jews, will lower the holiness of the Jews, will cause them extraordinary ways to sin in order for it to be harmony in this world. And the Oznaim LaTorah even gives a greater chiddush. He says that that is the reason still why we suffer nowadays in our diaspora, in our exiles, that we never seen such terrible times as today, even though the Jewish people are serving Hashem with their whole heart, and by their own actions they should have merited already to have a redemption. But since the world around us is totally corrupt, and we have to be involved in Tikkun Olam, in rectifying the world, that's the word that the Oznaim LaTorah uses. He actually uses the word Tikkun Olam. He doesn't explain how that is done, but we have to rectify the world through Tikkun Olam. So Hashem doesn't allow us to be redeemed because that the nation around us are so corrupt. Since the redemption could only come if the whole world behaves properly, and our partners, which is a goyim, do not behave, so therefore there is no choice for us, and we have to work harder to try to bring the world to be a better moral place. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should be meticulous in performing our mitzvahs. And through the performance of our mitzvahs, we should achieve again the level of angels, and not only us, that we should be able to raise the whole population of the world to the level of angels, and be able through our actions to influence the nations around us and be able to rectify the sin of Adam. And if that will happen, then Moshiach Tzidkenu will come, Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, Bimheira Beyameinu, Amen.